Welcome to the Independent RX Forum with Pharmacy Times and the National Community Pharmacists Association, the leading advocate and business education resource for America's independent pharmacists. Welcome to this month's episode of the Independent RX Forum. I'm Jill Murphy from Pharmacy Focus, and today we will be highlighting a few of the sessions at this year's NCPA annual convention, which took place from October 9th to October 12th. According to outgoing NCPA President Brian Caswell, it has been the best and worst times of being a part of the pharmacy community, specifically with the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. However, the most rewarding part of it all is being able to step up as a pharmacist and provide information, testing, and COVID-19 vaccines, just to name a few.
You know, I came into NCPA leadership really on the heels of being an advocate. You know, I kind of cut my teeth there really in the advocacy issue, both in the legislature within Topeka, Kansas, and coming to Washington, D.C. and forging very close relationships with congressional members. And that's been rewarding because it's been helping to steer the pharmacy profession, and especially from ownership standpoint as well. But, you know, when it gets down to the brass tack, it's our patients who make a difference. And when I can help, you know, save a life or alter one that makes it better, ultimately, that's what I got in this for, and that's been the most rewarding. The expanded role of community pharmacies and also utilizing our technicians in giving vaccines and saving lives is, I don't know if it could be any better.
With the new recognitions and responsibilities from community pharmacists over the last year and a half, Caswell explained how the NCPA has continued to advocate for community pharmacy through the business side and the clinical side of the field.
You know, NCPA is the single voice for independent community pharmacy, and I am very proud to be a part of the organization for two aspects. One is that, you know, many associations, whether it's pharmacy or whether it's other associations, kind of limit, not really limit, I guess I would say, but they're laser focused on a certain issue. And within community pharmacy, we have two aspects. We have the business side, and then we also have the clinical side. And so NCPA has had a foot in both camps and leading the way, not just within the ownership side. And the history of NCPA may have leaned a little bit more towards the ownership aspect, though it's always had some clinical aspect to it as well. But I feel like in the last maybe 20 years, I've felt more of that clinical support that's come from NCPA. And now it is really a jack of all trades for an NCPA owner, or for an owner of any community pharmacy. NCPA is really their answer to both sides of that.
Caswell enjoyed the annual convention that recognized the heroes of community pharmacy across the country and how excited the attendees were to be face-to-face.
It's called a hero's welcome. And why we call it a hero's welcome is because we're looking at community pharmacy of being the hero. Over 125 million doses of vaccine that's been given, that will have an impact not only the immediate lives, but maybe even the future life of some individuals, you know, decreasing maybe long-haul symptoms and other complications that can come across if you've had COVID, or even the spread to another family member or to another friend or coworker. So I would say that this annual convention has been great to recognize the heroes of communities on the cornerstone, being the cornerstone of our communities all across the country. There is one thing, though, that you cannot deny when you're here. People are excited to be face-to-face. Again, finally, for the first time, this is the first national convention that I know of across the country within pharmacy that is actually face-to-face. And I have been inundated with members saying, thank you for making the decision to come to Charlotte and creating that face-to-face meeting. We've been clamoring for it for 2 years, and it was about time that we did something about it. Made me feel pretty good as a board member.
On the clinical side, Dr. Nicole Pizzino's session on new drugs and clinical pearls touched on new treatments and prescriptions and any new information about these topics that community pharmacists should know. Dr. Brezzino mentioned how she tries to think about what the community pharmacists can do to share any new drug information with their patients and what type of data can be pulled to determine which agent is best, especially when it comes down to cost.
So for example, for the first agent that I discussed, one was bempedoic acid. For bempedoic acid, for cholesterol, we can see that it has LDL lowering capability, so it really helps with the cholesterol. However, we know that with that, statins remain the backbone treatment for people with cholesterol. When we look at something like for insomnia, the main thing that we can do as pharmacists is really help with lifestyle modifications. When you look at the clinical studies that have been done for all of the agents for insomnia, what we know is that they all were paired with sleep hygiene and lifestyle modifications. So really reinforcing that and having the opportunity to share that information with your patients. And then in addition to that, is the patient concerned with falling asleep or staying asleep? And then when they do wake up in the middle of the night, how long are they awake for? And so the agent that we discussed, lemborexant, can be used for both of those, sleep onset and then also sleep maintenance. But again, all of those trials looked at paired with sleep hygiene. Additionally, we looked at the ubrogepant, which is for migraine treatment, to really look and help reduce acute migraines. So if someone was to have a migraine attack, not necessarily to prevent migraines. And when you look at this one, there was three of them that came out around the same time. And so when you look at the efficacy of those, really what I reinforce is which ones are going to be covered by the patient's insurance plan and which third party payer or which agent that third party plan prefers, because efficacy for them is and safety are pretty similar for the three medications that all came out together.
In terms of pharmacokinetic properties or any unique characteristics that are worth mentioning, Dr. Brezzino used a few examples that would help the pharmacist and their patient decide what is best for them.
Most of these newer agents are, of course, compared to placebo, and there's limited head-to-head trials. The lemborexant really looked at it, and it did compare it to zolpidem, which is a benzo receptor agent for sleep. And when we looked at that one, we did see that there was just a non-inferiority. So really what that meant was it didn't work better than or worse than. So it's kind of like equal in terms of helping someone to fall asleep or stay asleep. So nothing that I would say out of these ones that is groundbreaking in terms of pharmacokinetic properties. And what I really reinforced during this was what could the pharmacist share with the patient to help decide which one, especially when cost is a huge barrier, access is a concern, and also proper use of it. One other example that I can give is for the Vibragon. For the other agent, you have to swallow that tablet whole. So if someone is having trouble swallowing tablets or capsules, the Vibragon, again, this is for overactive bladder, can actually be mixed with a tablespoon of applesauce. So you can actually crush it, which is not common for all of the medications that we discussed. So something like that might be a nice slight difference that we can do to help our patients.
As for the future of counseling patients as a community pharmacist, Dr. Brezzino said how as more agents come out, we can personalize them better for our patients.
I really appreciate how each one of them are overcoming different barriers that we have in the community setting for people either accessing, using, safety concerns for each of these agents. So really, as more and more agents come out, we're really having this opportunity to individualize it for our patients. And who knows patients better than community pharmacists? That we know the data is out there. We see them 35 times a year. I'm at the grocery store setting. And so I saw a study recently that said 1.6 times a week. That's a ton of times to see your patients and develop those relationships. So maybe for someone, they're struggling with an inhaler and breathing it in within or how it feels going in. Devices for inhalers have also been evolving, and there's really neat ones now. And some of them I describe as like going to the spa for your mouth for an inhaler for your lungs, just because of the way it's delivered. And so I've been really appreciating that, okay, we know needles are a barrier for some of our diabetes agents, and patients don't want to use a needle. So we have another new agent that turned it into a pill. So continuing to overcome these different barriers that we see, and of course, addressing the social determinants. health and access for these agents, with driving costs down with the new generics coming out and the new agents as well.
Ranan Ching, pharmacist in charge at Tarrytown Pharmacy, spoke on his session, which focused on point of care testing beyond COVID-19. Ching mentioned how it is important for pharmacies to branch into additional testing services because sometimes the resources already set in stone are not enough.
I think a lot of people have been talking and lamenting about the decreasing reimbursements and just all of the pressure that we're seeing with the insurance companies being more vertically integrated and there's less choice. And so a lot of times the typical filling of prescriptions just isn't going to cut it. And we have to branch out. And point of care testing is a really great opportunity to not only provide value for our patients, also throw our hat in the ring for helping manage chronic disease states, but also just a really great opportunity for revenue boosting for your pharmacy as well. So it's kind of the thing where doing the right thing, helping your patient, also pays off in the long run. So it's a great time to get into it, especially as most people have seen with COVID.
In terms of chronic disease management and acute infectious disease management, Ching said how there are different opportunities in this area that are exciting for the future of pharmacy.
So when you think about what point of care testing is going to do in the future, it really revolves around the clinical aspects of chronic disease state management. And so, for instance, there is a point of care test that actually, just with a quick finger prick, you can find out what a patient's A1C is. So you can start monitoring their long-term control of their blood sugar. And so with that, also being able to do a full lipid panel to find out the good, bad cholesterol levels, total cholesterol, triglycerides, all in a finger prick as well. It really starts giving you the freedom to do some interesting things, specifically for us in a real world application. We had a specialty pharmacy where we dispensed a lot of injectable cholesterol lowering medications like the PCSK9s. And a lot of times we got tripped up by the prior authorizations, which required actual lab values for LDL. So I don't think it's this way anymore because it's taken off the specialty list. But at the time, we actually did point of care testing to find out what our patient's LDL was so that we could actually go ahead and get those prior auths approved. And that was a big deal to the providers because that allowed them to keep, you know, taking care of patients and practicing. And it let us help them with those prior authorizations and those lab values. And easier for the patient because they didn't have to go into a lab and get a bunch of blood drawn. So it was super helpful for that. And I think that really is the future of pharmacy interventions and also helping manage chronic care or chronic disease states as well.
Some strategies that Ching recommends for increasing point of care testing services is to talk to your community and figure out their needs.
And so for us, a big thing in our area is convenience. And so we have a lot of folks that their doctors are closed during, you know, the nights and the weekends. And so we offer testing all the way up until, you know, 8 p.m. and definitely on the weekends too. We're also located across the street from an elementary school. So when that mom or dad is picking up their kid from the nurse and they might need a test or to find out why their kid might not be feeling well, we have a big banner in the front of our pharmacy that just says, you know, hey, strep and flu testing, come on in. And so we've really been in tune with what the community needs. And I just encourage people to find out what that kind of pain point or opportunity is in your own community and see how pharmacies and specifically point of care testing can help.
On the technician front, we spoke to pharmacy technician Meredith Ayers about her session on expanding the role of technicians. Ayers explained how pharmacists and pharmacy technicians were vital even before the COVID-19 pandemic. But with the authorization of these roles being able to give COVID-19 vaccines, it made the role even more dynamic.
Technicians and pharmacists, we still went to work when the pandemic hit in the United States, but we put together some great initiatives in addition to the vaccines to make sure our patients and community were still taken care of. So things like delivery of medications and curbside pickup, delivering to patients that couldn't get to us for their vaccines, any types of vaccines, other needs, community service, fundraising. And in addition, you know, community pharmacies were more accessible to minorities, and those are sometimes left behind in times of emergency. The true spirit of pharmacy is that, and, you know, we really stepped up during the pandemic. Technicians and pharmacists are trusted members of the community, and hopefully we've done a good job and can keep that trust.
Certifications can help technicians expand their role in the pharmacy, And Ayers emphasized the importance of getting a national certification, whether it is required or not.
Currently, 22 states require certification or registration with the state, but I can't stress enough the importance of getting a national certification, whether in one of those states or not, whether they require it or not. It's essential to advancing the careers and opportunities for technicians. PTCB and EXCPT are some of the options. And now PTCB offers an advanced credential for technicians that are interested in doing it. It's not required, but it's definitely there to help advance the career. It's extra training, it's certificate programs that include compounded sterile preparation, billing and reimbursement, controlled substance diversion, prevention, hazardous drug management, immunizations, medication history, TPV, technician product verification, and hazardous drug management. And recently they added a point of care testing so patients can get involved with that. And with certain combinations of these certificates, a patient can, or a technician can earn a advanced certificate with PTCB if they're currently holding a certificate with PTCB. So those are some opportunities where they can expand their education and their role in the pharmacy.
There are other ways for technicians to expand their knowledge and education, such as asking questions, mentoring, and reading, according to Ayers.
In the past, technicians have always looked at themselves as just a tech, and we're so much more. It's a career opportunity now, and it's not just a job. Aside from those certifications from PTCB, there's growth of opportunities. Reading and asking questions are two of the best ways to stay up to date and advance our knowledge. Mentoring a technician, you know, you always learn that you may learn more when you teach somebody else. And then who you're mentoring is going to learn from you as well and your experience. And ask questions with your pharmacist. Boost your knowledge and your education with them. The career of technicians can be really rewarding when the technician has the initiative and jumps in.
Ayers mentioned that she hopes to see technician advancements such as vaccine administration, tech check tech expansion in other states, and accepting physician prescriptions over the phone, just to name a few.
So many more responsibilities. You'll see a lot of certificate programs with PTCB is there to prepare us for what could come. Technicians can bring additional value to any pharmacy, and such as medical billing, medical equipment specialists, authorizations, insurance specialists, things like that. It's not just geared toward pharmacy work. Pharmacy work expands well beyond the actual pharmacy. So exploring these opportunities is only going to improve the pharmacy environment.
We also had the chance to speak with Dr. Anjanette Wyatt, CEO of Clinical Care Pharmacy, on her session about how pharmacists can tackle misinformation and empower their patients. Misinformation and health literacy go hand in hand, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic, and Dr. Wyatt said a main focus during this time is to increase the literacy of our patients so that they can understand that not everything they hear is the truth.
Well, we are seeing a lot of misinformation right now in the healthcare field, especially with the pandemic and COVID-19. So what we want to do is increase the literacy of our patients so that they will understand that what they hear on social media, what sometimes they even see on the television, is not the truth. Sometimes it's not totally accurate. So if they understand the terminology better, if they understand some of the especially those issues that related to themselves or even with COVID-19, then when they hear these things, they won't believe it. And they'll come back to you and tell you what they heard and let you know that, you know, because of what you've done to increase their literacy in health, that they were able to not to decipher what was real and what was not.
As for empowering patients, Dr. Wyatt said that this skill can fight misinformation, since once the patient has the right knowledge, they are more likely to not believe the other things that they read from outside influences.
In addition, empowering a patient with knowledge also gives them, it gives them strength to go in and talk about their disease state with their physician in a more candid way, so that when they leave there, they are, you know, directed in the right place to do better with their help and, again, increase outcomes.
In terms of pharmacists and pharmacy team members helping to empower their patients, Dr. Wyatt recommends having them bring in their lab reports and going through what is actually needed.
One thing that I do is I have the patient bring their lab reports in, because a lot of times they're given these lab values and they don't have a clue of what they mean and how that impacts their health. So a good way to empower a patient is to bring in the lab reports from the patients or have them to bring them in and then go through them with them and how that impacts their health outcomes, such as hemoglobin A1C in your diabetic patient. You want your diabetic patient to understand that getting that hemoglobin A1C under 7 will be advantageous for their kidney function, for their heart function, and all the organ functions. And they would be less likely to have comorbidities associated with diabetes.
For those with less access in the community, using our resources and going through the churches are two big ways that Dr. Wyatt feels pharmacists can reiterate health literacy.
Especially in communities of color, it's through the African American church or the Latino churches. I think that we could really, really impact a lot of the underserved patient populations through clergy and through the church. So that's one of the ways that I think would be very advantageous for many of the pharmacy owners in the community to get involved in the community. Another thing we need to do is to use our resources meaning existing patients in these communities. We can find out who the community leaders are and engage with the community leaders. And we can also engage with the clergy because they are very impactful on that community. And they will listen. For example, with vaccine hesitancy, I've found that going into the churches and having that minister to reiterate the importance of getting the vaccine for the safety, not only of the community, but of the congregation, then we see a high number of vaccine hesitant individuals that will come over in the Life Center and go ahead and get the shot.
Incoming NCBA President Michelle Belcher discussed what is to come on the forefront of community pharmacy, including figuring out new ways to continue to take care of patients.
Well, I just think that there are some positive things that have come out of the pandemic. I think that independent community pharmacies have shined a light on ourselves in a way that no one expected. We did what we do best, and I think that is to figure out and engineer ways to take care of our patients. And in that case, we spent time, you know, figuring out how to serve patients either with home delivery, curbside service, you know, store side. I have an alleyway, so we call it store side instead of in the alley. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that our patients were safe, had access, and had no interruption, most of all, in the care and service that we all deliver.
Belcher also expressed her gratitude for being a part of NCPA and the feeling of family she gets from being a part of the organization.
So I'm a second-generation pharmacist. My father, I had the privilege of coming back and going into business with both my parents. And my parents, but specifically my father, had for many years served on steering committees for NCPA because he felt very passionate about the fact that we not only give back to our own communities that we live in, but to the profession that we, you know, have gained so much, just the feeling of satisfaction of taking care of our patients. And so it was very, very important, and that was something that he really wanted to share with me. So when I first started coming, it was 1993, coming to legislative conference, and then was asked to serve on a steering committee the next year. It's such a feeling of family and a very open networking. And networking, interestingly, is not something that comes easily for me. And so to have a group of people who were so welcoming and hospitable to be able to share their thoughts and their values that were just like ours, to be able to take care of your patients, to try to make an honest living where you could pay your employees a fair wage, and that we ourselves could make a fair wage and stay in business. And I think that is the many times that you and I have talked, that's really just what we want to do. You know, ultimately taking care of our patients and being able to make an honest living is what we all want to do.
The convention was a great success with these sessions and the many more events that occurred. The NCPA wants to thank everyone who attended and participated in this year's events and are looking forward to next year's convention already.